been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the midweek, April 6th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. And we'll be talking in a bit here about the huge spike in interest rates that we've witnessed over the last couple of days and the impact it's having on the equities market, just as we warned, and on bond funds and the bond market. The Dow right now is down another 283 points today. It's down to 34,354. We're up overall a little bit, I just noticed. That's okay. The NASDAQ's down 348 points. Our inverse fund's doing well there. The NASDAQ down 2.5% after getting clobbered yesterday. The NASDAQ is back below 14,000. It's at 13,853. We've got the S&P is down 60. Wow. That's a 1.3% drop. The Russell 2K is down 27. That's a 1.3% drop. Crude oil is down 60 cents. It had a good day yesterday. It's at 101.36, and I have noted that the natural gas stocks are off to a pretty good start today. Gold rallying up $6 per ounce to 1,933. Silver 8 cents to the high to up 2461, and that 10-year, okay, this is the big number here today. Can you believe it? I can. The 10-year's up to 2.63%, and the 30-year mortgage has gone over 5% for the first time since 2013, I want to say. Interest rate spiking, high tech sinking. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I've got Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst.
Good morning, and, Bill. Lots of movement in the bond market. Pretty much kind of playing out like we've kind of expected it to play out for a while, but it, you know, finally seems like interest rates are having their effect, certainly on the NASDAQ.
Yeah, and well, the really high tech end of the NASDAQ. I'm looking at the Cathie Wood type stocks. Roku down 6%, Roblox down 6%, Shopify down 6.4, Twilio down 6.7, Cloudflare down 8.9, Invitae down 7.7. The big tech is holding up a little better. NVIDIA is down 4.1. Most of the big tech stocks down about 3%, but it's interest rates, which we've been saying all along. And I put out a opening message yesterday as the market opened, because we had some really big days on the NASDAQ here recently. And I came to the conclusion after looking at it intently over the last couple of days that these are bear market rallies you're seeing. And bear market rallies can be pretty intense. You know, you saw ARK funds go up about 30% in a couple of weeks. So if you want to play that game and try to predict when that bear market rally is going to occur and get in early and play it, but I've seen many people that were wrong back in the year 2000 that were sucked back in when those dot-com stocks started to move higher. And we've been saying for over a year that there are bear markets out there, and the biggest bear market is in two areas. That is the high tech, the high PE long duration stocks, and of course the long duration bonds. Now my question for you, Barry, is non-market related. Do you have tickets for the Masters tournament this weekend?
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, no. It's been on my man to-do list. I think I've lost the. I think I've lost kind of the lottery that you've entered. I think I've entered probably 15 years in a row at this point, and still haven't even made a practice round yet. So I'll be watching it on TV.
Yeah, Augusta's about 2 or 3 hours, probably about 3 hours from us. And,
yeah.
Unfortunately, the South comes to a halt, really, when the Masters happens. And then you add the Tiger Woods to the equation back in the Masters, saying he can win it. I think people will be glued to their TV sets around here this weekend. I've noticed that, you know, this area just comes to a halt, really, and the bars are just packed, people watching the Masters tournament. Well,
yeah, and I wonder if any of that weather that they had yesterday, I wonder if that affected the course. I'm sure, in our neck of the woods, that squall line that came through last night.
It came right through our neighborhood.
Yeah, it was a rough one out there for sure.
I thought the house was going to explode for a moment. The wind got up to about 70 miles an hour momentarily. It didn't last long. And I've never seen a lightning storm like what came up the Wando River last night. We were well warned. We were hunkered down, and it was interesting to say the least.
It was a sight to see, for sure.
Yeah, and it's a sight to see in the stock market. You know, yesterday while we were doing the show, you said something about the long bond. I looked over and I said, what? It's at 2.53. I could hardly believe my eyes. And then today it's up to 2.63. And it's obviously, you know, if you look at what caused it, it's comments by a couple of Fed governors. Lael Brainard was probably the one that set off this firestorm in the interest rate market and the bond market. And, of course, our inverse bond funds, TBT, TMV, are having huge days again today. And interest rates clear up to 2.63. What we've been saying was going to happen is happening. And keep in mind, they have only raised interest rates 0.25% so far. And I think it's 100%. I don't know if there's a betting line on the Fed in Vegas, but a half a point is almost a sure thing coming. And yesterday you had a horrible day in the market. The NASDAQ was down 328. Just when you know, the song of the sirens was beckoning,
right?
Come on in. It's fine. Roku and Roblox and Shopify and Twilio and other names, those high flyer names that are long duration, Rivian, etc. I strapped myself to my chair, just like, you know, he tied himself to the mast, I think, to get through there. And I have held on to my inverse funds. I did cut back on them a while back, but I'm keeping the rest. And, of course, PSQ on the NASDAQ. I still have a lot of SARC against ARC funds, because that's the 70-mile-an-hour wind coming up the Wando River yesterday. It's coming up and headed right for, and it already has taken a beating. It has just clobbered the long-duration stocks, which are down about 60% now from their February 2021 highs. And bond funds continue to get cream. I think this really turns ask the traditional asset allocation model on its head, okay? And the reason I say that, Barry, is we've had 40 years of falling interest rates, which made the asset allocation model look pretty good because that bond portion of people's funds did well. But what do you do to the asset allocation model, the traditional one, when all of a sudden you have a 40-year fall in interest rates turning to a new cycle? Who knows how long it will last? Could be for quite some time. Could be for 40 years. Who knows? But we're in a rising interest rate environment now. In my book, of course, I never drank the asset allocation Kool-Aid. But do you think that there's any adjustments being made to asset allocations, Barry, or is it still based basically on age?
Well, I mean, and it's has deep rooted in academia, right? And you know what where we're at kind of in this cycle we haven't seen before in terms of we've got you know the Fed going to be raising rates and also significantly reducing their balance sheet, at least according to Brainerd yesterday. And so those two things haven't, you know, basically you can't go to Milton Friedman's you know teachings as an economist, you know, we just haven't seen it. So, you know, in terms of how that affects asset allocation, right, it kind of remains to be seen, but it certainly it's not going to feel well as we go as you're going through this ride.
Well, I'm glad I never drank the Kool-Aid, and I'm one of the voices out there that have been saying for quite some time, I don't want to have any exposure to bond funds in an environment like this. That just makes logical sense to me, but you know, this is a world where there's not a lot of logical sense. Hopefully we'll bring you some more here today. This is Bill Gutterson and Barry Kitus, the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, our theme for 2022 remains in place. Number one, rising interest rates. To me, these are the things that you can count on. These seem to be the sure things to build a portfolio around. Number two, inflation. That's still very much in play around the world. Number three, shortages. I'm going to read some stories here that continue to point to a crisis in a lot of areas. Number four, global turmoil. That's certainly playing out. And number five is the war on fossil fuels, which is definitely playing out. And this is, to me, this is how to build a portfolio. It's not on my age. It's on the conditions that are out there in the world right now. Okay, let's go next to the global turmoil. A little update there. China is really buddying up to Russia. And, you know, the Europeans think they have a big card in their hand if they were to ban Russian imports. They did it to coal, it sounds like, today. They're not going to buy any more Russian coal. But the natural gas is still a problem for Germany in particular. And I don't know that China might be able to fill the gap and buy all that Russia can deliver. So that's a very dangerous combination there of a couple of superpowers, Russia and China. So we still have to weigh global turmoil into our decisions. And that's causing all kinds of ripples throughout the world. As far as the shortages and inflation, I was watching a story on Peru yesterday. Peru, rising fertilizer and fuel costs lead to protest in Peru threatening exports. Well, I mean, if you're eating blueberries this time of year, if you're eating grapes this time of year, they're not coming from California. If you're eating avocados, they're coming from Peru. Peru has deployed the armed forces and implemented a curfew to control violent protests sparked by rising fertilizer and fuel prices. Now, let's look at the leaders in the market today. Yes, there are some. Okay. Oh, let's see. I see all kinds of natural gas stocks and fertilizer stocks. CF Industries is up 3%. Mosaic's up 3.2% again today. The UNG Natural Gas Fund ETF is up 4.2%. You got a lot of the inverse funds are doing well. The inverse cloud 3-1 is up 8.7%. FANGD, FNGD, is three times short the FANG stocks. It's up 8.3%. The semiconductor stocks under heavy pressure. They're not cheap. SOX, S-O-X-S, is up 7.3% today. LPG, which is a natural gas stock, up 4.2%. Antero Resources, another natural gas stock, up 3.8%. So you get the gist. There are ways, there are things in the market that are working. You're also having protests in Sri Lanka, which is a big island nation off of India. Those protests sparked by food and fuel shortages. The two protests follow a similar uprising in Kazakhstan earlier in the year, sparked by rising fuel costs. So, you know, the link between rising prices, inflation, especially fuel costs, that seems to be the one where we feel it the most, Barry. You know, you get pretty dang mad when you fill up the cars.
Yeah, it's the one you see most. You know, your bread, some food, right? It gets mixed in with some of the other stuff that you're buying. But you know, when you're paying for gas, you see it, you know, right in front of you. And
yes, and you know, the supermarket.
And that feeds into every fuel. You know, we got the, you know, no pun intended, but that fuels other inflation, right?
Yeah.
You know, whether it's delivery cost, you know. Shipping cost, all of that, you know, driving the tractor around the farm, right? The combine, and I mean, there's a lot of you know, construction cost in terms of you know, machinery using diesel. So, you know, all of that stuff, right? You know, kind of top of the food chain, right? Tends to be fuel cost, and then everything else kind of goes up from there.
Yeah, and it also creates, you know, opportunity if you're a flexible investor and able to go wherever you need to go. Mortgage applications, they're down like 40% from last year.
Oh, yeah.
You finally broke the 5% level. That's really, you know, that's got to be hard on the mortgage lenders, the agents, the real estate agents, et cetera. And right now, as I read through all of these macro outlooks, economists now see U.S. recession in 2023. That kind of seems to be the consensus, is late next year. Well, I can just say that I'm not seeing an earnings recession yet. Of course, that's updated every week. I would say this, instead of seeing increases in the estimates, which we've seen for the last several years. It seems like they're constantly increasing the estimates for the coming years. They've leveled off. There hasn't been any increases recently, just incremental increases. But we're still looking for growth in earnings this year, for sure this year, barring some kind of big calamity, and next year. But you know, that's depends upon the Fed, how fast they go, and what impact it has on the economy. I think the consensus is the Fed is not going to be able to engineer a soft landing. It's going to be a hard, bumpy landing that could put us, more than likely will put us, into a recession. That seems to be the consensus opinion out there. Thank goodness for inverse funds at times like these. But it was Lael Brainard yesterday that said the Fed is going to drastically reduce their balance sheet. And let's not forget what is on their balance sheet. Mostly bonds, right, Barry? And they're selling off their bond holdings in big chunks. That alone drives interest rates higher, too, as people sell bonds.
Right, and yeah, and it's trickier for them because, you know, a lot of their treasury exposure that they, you know, that they purchased, right, kind of rolls off the balance sheet. Certainly their, you know, their shorter date maturities, but you know, they bought some mortgage, you know, a good bit of mortgages, and of course with you know, with interest rates going up, right, no one's, you know, necessarily refinancing those mortgages, so that's not a natural. You know, whenever people refinance, well, then that's going to pay off that mortgage, and then that money goes into the Fed and just naturally reduces their balance sheet. But in this situation, you know, those mortgages are going to be sticky, and those mortgages, you know, they may never get refinanced, right?
Exactly.
And so they've got to, you know, they're going to have to sell some of these instruments into the market, right? And so that inevitably is going to cause more, kind of more discourse out there in the bond market. So.
Yeah, and they will lose money on some of the bond holdings that they have too because of the current market condition.
Very true.
All right. Well, okay. I said earlier this week, I think you're looking at a bear trap in the high tech stuff, and so far that looks like that was a good call. Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Terrible day for the market. Dow down 270. The NASDAQ down, it's coming around there. S&P's down 1.3%. It's down 58. NASDAQ down 342, down 2.4%. ARK Funds is now down 6%. Barry, we are surging here at Gunderson Capital. I'm embarrassed to say it almost. We're up today pretty substantially on the back of SARC, the fertilizer stocks, inverse the biotechs, and natural gas. Okay, what can I say? That's how we're positioned, and that's how we remain positioned. And we have days. I mean, Monday was the day where you had all of the high-flying stuff up. And you know what? I just came to the conclusion. I think we call it a bear trap. There's another name for it. It's a bear trap. Those stocks are in a bear market. And, you know, the only way for them to start rebounding again is for interest rates to go down and inflation to quiet down. And I just don't see that happening. Anyways, enough of thumping our chest there, Barry, but I had to say it because I think that's a pretty incredible accomplishment here.
Certainly.
On a day like today, we've avoided the vast majority of the big down days in the market.
Yeah, and it's and that interest rate story is just playing out. I mean, it's amazing on kind of what's going on, and not just in the U.S., but I'm looking at some of the world been keeping my eye on some of the world rates that you track them in the newsletter on a weekly basis, and I was looking at just something like Germany, for example, right? Germany. Their 10-year is currently at 0.67%, which doesn't sound like a lot, but at the beginning of the year, literally on December 30th, it was negative.
Negative.
Right? So that rate's moved up 0.97%, almost a full percent since the beginning of the year, it's not only a story here, but also a story around the globe in terms of global. Bond and equity markets, where rising rates are hurting equities around the globe, regardless. So,
yeah, and most of the governments out there are saddled with a lot of debt, and they're going to be paying a lot. Look at the U.S. All of a sudden, we're going to pay a lot more in interest. I haven't heard anybody even mention the impact that this is going to have on our interest payments on $23 trillion in debt. You could get to a point where the interest payment's the biggest part of the budget. And you go around the world, it's Italy, it's Greece, it's Brazil, it's all bonds around the world. Interest rates around the world are going up. And the inflation is not just an America problem, it's a worldwide problem. My next story, wheat rises on more potential Russia sanctions and poor U.S. crop conditions. Let's just check in on the ETF wheat, WEAT. It's pretty strong, relative strength of 98. Who would have thought that wheat ETF would have a relative strength of 98? And let's just say ARK, for instance, ARK's relative strength compared is 12. Okay, let's look at corn. Corn's been flying higher. Corn's relative strength, 96. Hit a new 52-week high yesterday. Soybeans, SOYB, relative strength of 93. You talk about an upside-down market. Who would have ever thought in 2020, with the with all of the exciting, sexy stocks flying higher, that just 2 years later, you would have soybeans, corn, fertilizer, natural gas topping the leaderboard here at the Masters of 2022 in the stock market. Now, here's a story in Seeking Alpha that did not age well. This was today. It says the momentum shifts to growth ETFs. Okay, well, I examined that. I said there was a couple of weeks there where there was some pretty strong momentum. I've witnessed this before. I'm a veteran of 2000, year 2000. You know how many of the false rallies there were in the dot-com bubbles? Because everybody was used to them going up every single day for like 2 or 3 years. The tech sector went up every single day. There's no way they're going to have any down days. They're used to them going up every single day. The electric vehicle stocks, don't they go up every single day? You know, Rivian and Lucid Motors and all. Tesla does. Tesla still does. But Tesla's about 30% from its high. No, they don't go up every single day. That's a sign that eventually there's going to be a big reckoning, and that reckoning is taking place right now. So even though the momentum shifted to growth ETFs for a short period of time, it looks to me like value, definitely. And that applies to people that have a 401k at work. Why the value funds have been shunned. Remember, we saw a lot of the value investors going out of business and closing shop during 2022. I thought, you know, generally the pendulum's going to shift. And it did in 2000. I saw the same thing happen.
Well, in most of the 2010s, right? I mean, growth, pretty much superseded value for almost a decade there, right? And now we're kind of pendulum in markets, the pendulum seems to shift quickly, right? It kind of overcorrects almost, right? And then finally figures out its course, and then we redirect.
Absolutely. And that everything in the market and the economy is cyclical, and we're at the opposite end of the cycle that we were in back in 2020. Okay, the war on fossil fuels. Biden looks for ways to increase Canadian oil imports without adding pipelines. Well, Canada's got a lot of oil up in the oil sands of Alberta there in Calgary and whatnot. And he's now proposing that we truck it here. The White House is seeking ways to increase Canadian oil imports. However, the administration does not want to resurrect the Keystone XL pipeline. You know, look, both sides, they get caught up in their ideology, okay? The ideology is more important than being pragmatic and logical. He is not going to open that pipeline. It goes through Native American lands, whatever the reason is. And so instead, he's looking at ways to send it on railroad to bring in. Apparently, so Germany's got a big problem. They are trying to figure out. They would love to cut off Russian natural gas. That's Russia's major source of income right now, is Europe buying their natural gas. And Europe cannot cut the apron strings because they don't have a substitute yet, not even close to having one. So they're scrambling, trying to figure out. We're shipping all the liquid natural gas that we can to them. But here in the U.S., we're having the same kind of issue when you fill up your tank at the local gas station. We need more energy. We need more gas. We need more oil. And, Canada has it. And so where do they go? First they go to Venezuela. Well, that must not have went too well because I'm not seeing any Venezuela gas coming our way. Then they went to Iran. That obviously not going well. Russia is on the other side negotiating with Iran against us. I don't know how we do these things. And here you got this up in Canada. But I'm just reporting what I see. And the war on oil has on fossil fuel has its impact in the world. Elon Musk, large stake in Twitter, has these ETFs in focus. Well, guess whose stock is selling off? Trump's stock. The digital world plunges. His SPAC, Digital World Plunges, as Elon Musk is added to the Twitter board. And, you know, Elon is making it well known. He's not going to be a passive investor in Twitter. He's going to be an activist investor in Twitter. And Twitter, considering the NASDAQ condition today, Twitter is up again today, 1.4%. I think there's a lot of people that really, it's traded 43 million shares. I'm tempted to invest in Twitter myself. I think Twitter is, you know, it is the de facto. It's like Google and the searches. Twitter is the one for the short social media tweets going out. And if they can just make it open and free and they can monetize that thing, I think Musk is going to turn that thing around. We'll see. But it's up 1.6% today. Okay, the stocks jumping off the page. Yes, there are some. They may be inverse ETFs, but who cares? We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, you should be getting your statements here pretty soon. Maybe you already have from your advisor or your broker or your wealth manager or your planner, whatever the case may be, from your bank. Open that thing up, and you might be a little angry. We'll see. I don't know. It's up to you. But if you're loaded with bond funds, your statement that you're opening up doesn't include the first few days of this quarter, which have just been brutal on the bond funds. And, of course, you know, the high-tech stuff, the NASDAQ, just brutal right now. And you might ask yourself, well, who's managing my account for me? I don't know. Did they drink the passive Kool-Aid and just standing still while interest rates are blasting off and inflation is roaring and global turmoil grips the globe? I don't know. You can answer that question. You heard the show. Excuse me, and you get the newsletter every week. We're totally transparent. You know what we've been talking about, and it's, you know, we haven't changed our tune in a long, long time. We were really bullish in 2020, and for about the first several months of 2021, and then as we started to get COVID out of the mix and demand started to really pick up and the Fed started to go on the war path, we had a huge spike in interest rates over a year ago, and that really kind of changed the whole landscape for me. All right, well, I'm going to blast off four different, you've probably heard these names before. That's a good thing. If you've heard them before, that means they continue to do well. The first one that's jumping off the page to me today, Barry, is Mosaic, M-O-S. It's from that sexy industry of fertilizer. It's out of Tampa, Florida, okay, the home of fertilizer. No, I'm just kidding. I love Tampa, and I love that part of Florida. I love the old state of Florida. They manufacture phosphate fertilizers, feed phosphate, potash sold worldwide. And I've been putting my potash and phosphate and nitrogen on my little vegetable plants. It's not cheap. I got two bags of weed and feed, $40 a bag, $80 for two bags to weed and feed my grass. And my wife's got, she likes this bougainvillea from California. It does pretty well here in Charleston, and I learned that you got it. They like potassium. Bougainvillea likes, any flowering plant likes potassium. makes them flower better and put out more flowers. That stuff is not cheap at all. Mosaic, we own MOS, hitting a new high today. And here's that deadly combination this year. Relative strength 99. It doesn't get any higher than that. And PE ratio of 13. Okay, the next one, I'm going to go stay with the farming agricultural theme, LXU. It's LSB Industries. The symbol is LXU. It's actually out of Oklahoma City. They manufacture agricultural, mining, and industrial chemicals and climate control products used in construction. That's a smaller company, only $2 billion in market cap. Their most recent quarter, their sales were up 114%. Their earnings were up 247%. Relative strength of 99. It's up 4.7% today on a day when the Dow's down 290. And the NASDAQ is down 321 points. LXU is up 4.8%. Ag has been a big theme of ours because it plays right into the shortages, the global turmoil, and the inflation, all three of those. Now, let's see, we'll go to one more fertilizer stock, Intrepid Potash. 99 relative strength, hitting a new high, big move. It's out of Denver, Colorado. Roll the windows up when you drive by the plant there. IntrepidPotash.com. A lot of that comes from Canada, too. I used to own a lot of Canadian. I believe CF Industries is Canadian. I used to own a stock many years ago called POT, Potash Corp. And I think it was kind of run by the government, and private industry came in and really turned that thing around, and then I think it was bought out and that merged with CF Industries.
Yeah, and one of the ones that you always heard about over the years, you know, basically got renamed to Nutrien. That's where they came from, which sounded better than, you know, whatever.
Yeah, what was
name
it?
They, I think it was just was. It might have been the old potash or part. You know, but I want to a piece of it. You know, I guess they just wanted to figure out some other naming. Some marketing person was probably like, "Let's roll with Nutrien instead."
Nutrien. Right? That sounds way better than
a miracle
cow
grow,
manure.
Right? Miracle Grow. Like.
Cow manure. You know, let's chicken manure. Let's name it Nutrien.
Yeah,
they probably did all kinds of studies. And okay, now let's see. The last one here I'm going to mention is going to be one of our natural gas plays, is SWN, Southwestern Energy. That stock hitting a new high, relative strength 97, PE ratio of 7, single digit. There's a lot of single digit PEs out there. And let's not forget, this is a horrible environment for high PE. That's why Gunderson likes low PE, especially in industries that are facing shortages, inflation, and a war on their product, which is creating these shortages. SWN hitting a new high. It's up 6.2% today. Well, ARC Funds is down 6.2%. Where do you want to be? It's up to you. ARC's only down 5% now. It's making a comeback. Anyways, that's my story. That's our story for this day. Another ugly day in the market. Big spike in interest rates. But if you're positioned in areas that actually benefit from this, and, you know, I'm surprised that the banks haven't done better. They've done poorly. Well, we're out of time. There's the music. We're sticking with our fertilizer. We're sticking with our natural gas, etc. If you'd like to talk to us, if your portfolio is a mess, let us do some gardening on it. Clean it up. Get rid of the weeds. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.